This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith courts one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Cardinal Nation, how the hell are you this morning? I know we got a guest on the line here, Benji Molina on an M4 by Yachty hotline, that he's just waking up in hot St. Louis here after a late night partying at Yachty's foundation event. What was it, the Taste of Puerto Rico, BMO?
Flavors of Puerto Rico, actually, that's what the name was, tasting rums and different types of rum, and the food made with rum. It was an 8-course meal. I mean, all kinds of stuff, goodies, you know, from our island, and so people can taste different types of flavors and drinks. And it was awesome, man.
Was it authentic? See, my fear sometimes, you go to those things, you're in the middle of St. Louis. I mean, were they feeding you authentic food, or was it like Mississippi River shrimp that they were trying to pawn off as give it to me, break it down,
man. It was very authentic. The cook was everybody that came over and did the food was flown over from Puerto Rico. They flew over here to do this event. The cook, I mean, everybody is very, very, very authentic, very, very, whatever we use in Puerto Rico, this was part of it. I mean, everything, Steve-O, I mean, everything was just very much, very, very cool, man. Very good flavors. Nothing from Mississippi River, man.
So here's a question. A gringo like myself, would have I enjoyed the event?
Oh, there were so many gringos in there, man. What are you talking about? There were so many of them, and they came out. Happy, they came out saying how good it was, how the food was. Not only the food, that we had music all the whole time. We had an auction, a couple of items and stuff, and I mean, it was totally cool, man, really. And then don't forget, since the end of last year, the season ended last year, and Yachty went to Puerto Rico, they only had raised $300,000, right?
Right.
So they set the new number. Right now, as of yesterday, it's $800,000 raised to Puerto Rico.
Holy cow.
That is pretty amazing.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. And now I know, I think Mai was in town, right? And Chio. And obviously Yachty was there and yourself. So we had the whole family together, right?
Yeah, we were all together. We even went to his house after the event. I mean, we were all there because Jose has to go. My brother Jose has to go today. He flew out to Arizona at 7 a.m. So it was a very short night for him. And then we just wanted to say hi and stuff. And then my daughter was going to stay with Yachty's home, and then she didn't. And so then we came to the hotel. But, man, it was a very special night.
Awesome. Did you any late night shenanigans with the karaoke machine?
Yeah, are there gonna be any videos leaking out that we need to know of?
No. We don't need to do that. We need to save that for a family reunion or something. You know what I'm saying? Not for these type of events, you know, where we don't want to take over. It was a group. It was a band there singing. So we didn't want to take over them, you know. So we want to let them sing for us, you know.
Absolutely. Well, I got a little insight there. A friend of the show, a friend of the Two Birds on a Bat show, is an artist, Stephen Walden. And I think he did some live painting there. And from his text to me last night, I think Marcel Ozuna and Yachty and Adam Wainwright were bidding this item up. It's a great piece of artwork with Yachty present in the forefront, and in the background is the Puerto Rican flag. I think it went for like $8,500, one of his best auctions ever. So you guys had a good group there willing to open up their pocketbooks and give some money back to Puerto Rico. That's great to hear.
Yeah, man. Yeah, and they went at it, you know, for a while. It was $9,500, I think, almost $10,000. And that painting, man, it's a 3D painting too. Don't forget. Wow. I mean, that painting, I don't know how the heck he does it, but it's a 3D. You put the 3D glasses on and you can see Yachty popping out. I mean, it was an amazing deal, you know? So, but that, yeah, that was the biggest thing in there. And it's like $9,500. And I mean, it was fun all around. I mean, right. People kept betting on things and things that usually don't go for high price. They were going for high price. They knew they were helping, you know, they knew that the whole thing is about giving a few dollars or help out Puerto Rico in this hard time. And remember, guys, the hurricane season just started. So we don't know, man. Hopefully we don't get one this year, but you know how that goes.
Absolutely. So I don't know, and I'm going to put you on a spot here. I don't know if you know this off the top of your head, but if somebody out there, one of our – Josh, what do we get, about 1 million downloads on this thing, an episode? What's 1.5 million? It's crazy, the number of people that listen to this.
Yeah, show. We have like 200,000 downloads a month is what it is.
Okay,
but we
so
reach
not
on like social media, all that stuff. Apparently we reach – close to 2 million people.
Okay. Well, I was hoping it was going to be like 2 or 3 million people download every episode. And I think a lot of them look forward to when I'm running it and Cromer's not here, is what I've heard. That's just the feedback that I've gotten. But if there's somebody out there in our millions of listeners that want to give to Puerto Rico and didn't make it to the event, I mean, do we go to Yachty's foundation page? What's the best way to do that?
I think so. I think it's the best way. Foundation for, you'll find it. You Google that thing and you Google Foundation for and you'll go straight to it. They probably have a little corner where you can just say, it says donate or something, and you can go straight there, man. And that's the best way to do it, because from there it goes straight to that, to the Puerto Rican people. So, it's trustable. You all know it. Yachty ain't taking nothing. Like, I hope people are not thinking that, but if they are, please don't, because this money goes all straight to the people, and he'll do it. He'll show it. They show a video when he was taking the food over and the water over when the rivers were still raging. He was still crossing those rivers to get to people, things like that. So feel free, if you have any donations and things like that, go to the website, Google Foundation for, and you'll see the whole thing and get in there. And even phone numbers too. They have phone numbers where you can reach, where you can get in touch with somebody and do your donation, man. It'll be cool, man. It makes you feel really good when you know you're helping people.
Yeah, so if you just get on Facebook and type in Foundation 4, you could even tag it with Yachty or Molina. It'll pull up that, and they got a phone number there and ways to give. So if you're still feeling generous out there, make sure you get on there and donate a little bit of love back to, you know, one of our premier superstars ever wear the Birds on the Bat jersey. So great event last night. I'm glad you and all the family were in town for it, got to enjoy it. So, but now it's time to talk a little Cardinal baseball, right? Had a day off.
Yeah, buddy.
Well needed day off.
We had a tough series against San Diego, right? We only got one out of three, but then it looks like our schedule eases up a little bit for this weekend, right? We got the Cubs this weekend.
I don't know about that.
The lowly Cubs.
Yeah,
it gets easier, man.
Good deal. Well, let's get make sure I get everybody announced. Everybody obviously knows we've been talking to Benji Molina on the M4 by Yachty hotline. Over here to my left, we got Josh Potter, one of our regulars in here, helping out with Birds on a Bat show for the last couple of months. So appreciate him being in here. And then I got a special guest, big Cardinal fan. I work with him on a daily basis. He's with Keller Williams Realty. We got Robert in the house. Robert, what's going on, brother?
Yeah, you know what's funny is talking to Benji, he mentioned rum right off the bat, and maybe it's been a long week. All I'm thinking about is rum. Maybe not a good sign for the week.
I'm not sure that's a bad sign. The fact of the matter is this is a Friday morning show, which is unusual. Usually we cut on Thursday, but we're cutting today, which is not necessarily bad because we're at noon almost, and we're only a couple hours away from the weekend happy hour. So
it's almost rum time. Perfect.
Yeah, yes. But Benji still has to work tonight, right? You still got the game tonight, BMO?
Oh, heck yeah, man. It's on and crack-a-locking on today, man. We got Saturday, we got Sunday. We got the nice and easy cups. So it's going to be fun, man.
Well, traditionally what we talk about when we get the Cubs coming into town is a little bit of that Cardinals-Cubs rivalry and how far that dates back. And is it still – is rivalry still – present out there in sports? I mean, obviously the big ones in baseball, you got Yankees, Red Sox is still a huge rivalry right there. I feel like, you know, has that Cubs card series lost its luster a little bit, Josh? What do you think?
I mean, just because Milwaukee now is in, what, they're in first place. They've got a pretty good squad. I mean, I know people doubt their starting pitching and stuff like that, but I mean, this team can flat out rake, and their bullpen is probably the best in baseball. I mean, Hader coming from the left side who can go two innings and doesn't look fatigued. I mean, the guy throws just darts in there, like Chris Sale, but a relief pitcher. So I think that kind of, you know, what's the word I'm looking for here? Like, kind of just puts us on the back burner almost because this newfound, you know, Milwaukee and Cubs and. I don't know. So, but I still think there's something there. Right? There, and I hope to see it this weekend.
Benji, how does it feel from a player standpoint right now? I mean, obviously, we've seen, you know, from the Molina family, you know, Yachty really kind of become a rival with the Cincinnati Reds. I mean, that's been kind of one of those things where, you know, as he was coming up, cutting his teeth and becoming a superstar, they were right there in the mix where we were most competitive with them. But how does it feel with the players right now with the Cubs rivalry?
I was gonna tell you guys that maybe in the outside feels that way, but once those guys hit the lines, I don't think they feel that way, man. I really do believe they don't like each other. They play for their city, of course. They playing for Chicago. We're playing for St. Louis. When something gets hit, man, it might not be everybody, okay? Don't get me wrong. Not everybody takes it that way. Not everybody sees it as a rivalry. Not every player do that. But there's some players out there that they can tell you they hate the Cardinals, and then if you go around the line and around the circle and with the Cardinals, they might tell you they don't like the Cubs, man. They don't like how they act. They don't like them celebrating last year on the field. In St. Louis and things like that. And I don't know if it was last year, but whenever they celebrated. But, I mean, from the outside, it might look a little bit passive or something. But, man, inside those lines, when Lester throws a ball out of the chest of somebody, you know the Cardinals are going to throw some balls out of the chest of whoever, you know, in the Cubs lineup. So it gets heated, man. It gets heated in there. They don't like each other so much. And this makes it good for our guys, you know. It makes it good for the competition. It makes it good for the fans. It makes it an interesting game. It doesn't make it boring. I mean, it's old school baseball. Let's go at it and see who wins, man. And it's gonna be fun, man. I'm telling you. You guys know. I don't have to.
Oh yeah.
You guys know. It's gonna be pretty much fun.
Speaking of Lester, I got a question for you. So, he can't throw the ball to first base. He can't really throw the ball anywhere. I mean, hell, we've seen him throw his glove. We've seen him bounce it to second base. Why don't teams run on him more?
Well, first of all, Josh, you got to see who's behind the plate. It's not my grandma. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Behind the plate is the guy that has the freaking skills, and he's got a cannon. That's the first thing. And he can shut you down. So with that being said, I get what you're saying. The best thing that a pitcher can do to a base stealer is to hold the ball. Okay?
Yeah, and there's timing. I've learned timing, you know.
He's not slow to the play either. So the best two things to hold up a runner, anybody running, is hold up the ball and go quick to the plate. And he has both. So not because he doesn't throw the first. You've seen guys going after with a big lead because he's not going to throw, but it's hard to steal because he goes really fast. You know what I'm saying? He holds the ball, make you thinking, and then he goes fast.
Yeah.
So, and then behind the play, you have a guy that has a cannon, and that makes it tough. It's not as easy as people think. He doesn't throw the first. Let's go. Yeah, let's go. If he was a guy who's low to the play, yeah, I would say let's go. But he's really fast to the plate. He holds the ball. He does everything to hold the runner, what they want, and you don't have to even throw the first. That's how good his thing is, and people think, oh, yeah, go. Yeah, no, it's not.
And that's exactly why I asked. Yep, and that's exactly why I asked. I don't think it's easy at all. I understand pitching. That's what I did high school and college, and so I understand the art of pitching and how to hold runners on. So I just know I feel like every game that we see Lester, there's, you know, Cardinal Nation blows up with, well, why didn't we steal, blah, blah, blah. So I just wanted to get that,
not that easy,
in and out there real quick.
Well, I guess my frustration with it is the fact that, you know, a lot of times when you're doing stuff like that, I'm not sure these guys are attacking that possibility the way they should be. If I'm a base stealer and I know that this guy doesn't have a move over, okay, and I know he might hold the ball, he might freeze, he might step off, he's a lefty, I'm going on first movement.
Yeah. Yep.
Why don't I take a little bit?
But that first movement, sometimes, guys, I get it. I mean, if a guy has a high leg kick, first move works. As soon as that guy's first movement is a quick step to home plate, it's not. It becomes a right-hander quick step.
Right.
Yep.
So it doesn't work as a first move. First move is with the left-handers that has a high leg kick. Now, if you see a high leg kick and you go, I'm with you. You might get a couple steps, and you might get the hand in for safe. But if you go with a quick step and you have a catcher that throws a bullet out to second, I don't know about your chances, buddy. Plus, let's put this out there to the fans. The runners usually get 3.5 steps from the bat.
Right.
Once you put in 4 steps, 5 steps, because the guy doesn't throw, the first thinking in their head is like, I don't want to get picked up. This guy's going to throw. You know what I mean? You're always on the defense when you go away from what you normally do. So they don't get the greatest jump.
That's my whole point.
Like I said,
is instead of going 3.5 or 4, go to 2.5 steps so you can make the determination that, hey, I'm going. I might even try to time it because I know he's not going to throw over. If I'm 2.5 steps, I can make a mistake and still get back if he steps off. I can go and try to anticipate a time when he's about ready to lift. And guess what? If I get it, I'm safe. If I don't get it, I still have plenty of time to stop and wait to fight another day. That's what I don't get, is when these guys get these big leads, you're exactly right. In their mind is, I no longer, no matter what you tell me, I no longer have a one-way lead where I'm stealing because I'm 4.5 steps off the bag. So all of a sudden, my thinking is, I got to protect just in case. Well, here's the deal. If you eliminate that just in case and you go 2.5, maybe 3 steps where you can still make a mistake, you can still take a stride towards second and get back in time if he steps off, then you can try to time. I mean, that's how Yachty steals all. Yachty never straight steals. It's all on a timing. Everything's always on anticipation.
Yes, I get what you're saying. I mean, I'm down for that too, but when you have a guy that goes slow to the plate, it's a lot easier because Yachty doesn't steal on the guy who goes quick step. Most of them have high leg kicks, middle high leg kicks, But Yadi can't go on a quick step guy. He's been thrown out a couple of times because of the quick step. So Lester makes it really hard for runners holding the ball, make him think this could be the time he's going to throw, and he never does, but make him think and stop and stop. And then all of a sudden, he goes quick to the plate. You know what I'm saying? So, and then the guys know that behind the plate is not somebody that doesn't have a good arm or is not quick. You don't see that anymore. You see guys with a lot of talent behind the plate. They throw the ball. They have cannons. If you go down through the whole Central, you got Pena in Milwaukee who has an absolute cannon. You have Cervelis, absolute cannon. You got St. Louis, Yadi, a cannon. You got the Cubs, Contreras, a cannon. And Cincinnati, that guy just won the Gold Glove. It's amazing how difficult it is to steal a bag, man. I'm just saying, for Lester, he's not a high leg kick, so it's really hard. It makes it a little harder that you know you have to be perfect or do what you said, Steve-O. Like, take a little timing and go and take your chances. That's the only way.
Okay, so I'm gonna come back to middle school baseball and high school baseball. Do you guys, as hitting coaches, do you ever talk about protecting the runner on a swinging through a pitch just in case he didn't get a good jump? Or, I mean, the batter obviously sees almost everything, and I get it. It's frustrating when you get the green light or you're stealing, you know, on your own, and you think you got a good jump, and you get halfway there, and next thing you know, the batter fouls the ball off. You are going to be safe. One of the most frustrating things in baseball is that unwritten rule, like, hey, you got to take a strike if this guy's going to make it. But you also know if this guy might not make it. Now, once again, I'm talking, you know, middle school, high school, where you get a lot more time to make a decision whether you're going to swing or not. But do you guys, from a hitting coach standpoint, ever teach on swinging through the ball just to protect that runner a little bit, or even trying to drive it to the vacant hole?
We don't think about swinging through Steve-O or protecting the guy because he had a bad jump. Believe me, it's not that easy how it looks. The easier one is to protect the guy. Like, if I have one strike and I'm a better hitter with men on second base, I want to hit with that guy at second, even if I get my second strike, right? So I don't give a crap where that ball is. I'm going to fake bunt. I'm going to put the bat on the catcher's eyes. So I'm a catcher. I know that bugs me when I'm a catcher and somebody just puts the bat like he's going to bunt it and he's blocking my view. All of a sudden, I have to pop up, get the ball, pop up, and throw the second. It's not going to work very easy for me. So that's what I tried to do whenever I saw a guy trying to steal, even if I had one strike. You don't see that here anymore. When the guy has one strike, there's not many kids out there that can do that. There's not many kids that understand that guy had a great jump and he's standing out second and you only has one strike. So all you have to do is fake the bunt or fake it, take it out. Maybe it's a strike, maybe it's a ball. And the guy is at second and scoring position. Yes, you get two strikes, but who cares? The guy's at second. If you battle your butt and you maybe get a hit, you might get an RBI. But these days, there's not many of those guys that can do that, man. I've seen it so many times. I even threw my headset down to the ground and being mad as heck when I saw somebody stealing in the Cardinal game and the guy hit a foul ball on the 0-0 count. 0-0 count. He has two strikes still to work, and he couldn't take a freaking pitch. He's a right-handed hitter. He couldn't take the pitch. He hit a freaking foul ball. And the guy could have been a second, no out. And you have one strike. Who knows? It could have been a ball, too. Man, I don't understand. They don't have it in their head. These kids do not understand baseball IQ as we did before. Not we, because this comes from way before me. I don't want to say we, like me. But it's not the same game. They're not capable. Most of them, they're not capable of doing these things, man. I'm telling you, they are not capable. If you tell me, I'll take my second strike. But if the guy is at second base, I might get a blooper or a broken bat or something, or I might even move him to third with one out. You know what I'm saying? But they don't see it that way. They see the ball, okay, I got to hit it. No, dude, you don't have to hit it. You don't have strike. You have one strike. Take it. Let him get to second. Then you battle your butt off to get an RBI or move the guy over. That's it.
Right, and I think that's what a lot of what people are missing in the modern day of baseball.
It's the old school baseball.
And
these young kids aren't incapable of doing this.
Right.
They just are thick-headed little shits that don't want to listen to anybody, and they've seen the success, they've gotten a little taste, and they're, you know, maybe riding their high horse a little bit. I mean, they got to get back to the small ball, and that's the kind of game that Mike plays, and that's the kind of team that this is really, you know, built around. It's built around the solid starting pitching.
How embarrassed were you when you were hitting and a guy had the base stolen and you fouled the ball off? How embarrassed as a hitter were you?
I didn't even make contact, so I'm out of this.
Yeah, you weren't a good hitter. Hey, let me tell you what. The only thing Josh knows about hitting is he can't do it.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
No, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, absolutely.
How would you feel? I mean, that's for me, that was embarrassing. That was really embarrassing to look at the dugout, and everybody's putting their heads up like, what the heck are you doing?
Yeah.
That guy had the second base stolen, and you're hitting a foul ball with no strikes or one strike? Let him get to second. Don't you see it? Sometimes, you know what we do? We started doing is yelling from the dugout. Like when we saw the guy with the big jump, we'll yell at the hitter, take it, take it, take it, take it, take it. Because we need to know if you guys is going to swing. Come on, man. You should know that. You're a baseball player. You're a ball player. Okay?
Just understanding the situation. I mean,
know all that.
Yeah.
And it happens in every level. Yep. I mean, we've seen it, from Little League on up that people just don't have the baseball IQ. But I really go back to, and Benji, this goes back to our, you know, first conversations when we started Two Birds on a Bat about, you know, the managers coming to you, whether it was Socha or Bochy, and saying, hey, I need 50 at-bats, or I'm going to need, you know, you to give me something for the betterment of the team. And that's one of them, you know, is the fact of the matter is if a guy has a jump, make no mistake about it, the batter sees that. The batter knows. So they need to anticipate that and know what they should do in any situation. So, and that's old school baseball. Hey, that's why they talk. You hear it every broadcast. They will talk about, boy, the leadoff guy's been on, you know, 3 out of the 6 innings. Why do they say that? Why is the leadoff guy so important to get on? Because then a stolen base, a hit ground ball to the second baseman moves him over to third, and a fly ball, and that's a guaranteed run. That's what that's the reason why they bring it up. They don't bring, there's no other statistical reason to bring that up other than if you could advance to second, you should score a run every time.
With no outs.
With no outs, correct.
And that's the name of the game. And like I said, it's all strategic now.
If you have guys that hit 280, I bet, or 270 at least, you won't have a problem. You'll have guys moving the guy over. You will have guys that get the guy in. But if we have guys hitting 170, striking out a lot, 220, 190, I bet you anything that number's going to go down and we ain't going to score nothing. You know what I'm saying? It changed the game.
Yeah.
You go for the home run now. They don't like the guy to get the guy over. I don't know why. I don't understand it. But they don't like it. You don't even see high five in many clubs. I was watching the college kids, and the guy got the guy over from second to third with nobody out, and the guy just went over. I put the head down and no shaking hands. And the guys were trying to shake his hand like a great job, buddy, good job. And he just put the head down, was mad at the at-bat, and didn't even shake hands to the guys in college. You think he's going to change magically and do it in pro baseball now? Hell no. He's going to go, okay, I got a ground ball to second. Shoot, man, I should have got an RBI. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I should have got a hit. So, well, and I saw it in college on these games that they're showing. I'm like, dude, how can you possibly not shake hands? I almost give you a hug when you get the guy over from second and to third with nobody else. I didn't shake your hand. I almost give you a freaking hug. That's how excited I was, you know?
Absolutely. Well, we're going to turn our attention to the actual upcoming three games here. But first, let's get the rest of the business out of the way. We're here live doing the show right now. We'll be put out here in a couple hours to you. We're coming from the patio studios here in Edwardsville, Illinois. So we already mentioned that BMO's on the M4 by Yachty hotline. Our special show sponsors for today, Robert Wagner with Keller Williams Marquis Realty here in Edwardsville. Robert, thanks for being in here.
Hey, thanks for letting me suck up the air in the place while I just sit and listen.
We're going to have you talk here in a little bit when we get here.
I got a lot of opinions on Andre Dawson. Is that, when does that show come around? I've got a lot of Andre Dawson, Ryan Sandberg issues.
Oh, so, it's coming. Okay, we're going to talk about it.
Great. That's my sweet spot.
Perfect. Thanks. The co-sponsor is USA Mortgage today. So for all your home financing needs, call myself, Steve Flowers, USA Mortgage, 618-655-0483. Get those shameless plugs out of there. But to the people that really pay the bills here, we got really good friends over there at Innovative Companies. So check them out, innovativecompanies.com, for all your commercial, residential, construction needs. Our main man, Randy Green, he loves his barbecue, and his wonderful daughter, Stephanie. They're ready to help you out. They do it all, folks. Heating, cooling, construction, electric, and then the recent plumbing team they just added. Get them involved early in the process. Save yourself time and money. Make sure you get a hold of Randy Green. He's a second-generation craftsman, and more importantly, he's a man of his word. So on a hot day like today, I know it's probably not something you want to get out and do, but get out early tomorrow morning if you're looking to play golf, or Sunday morning, and get that happening over there at Arlington Greens. Go see Mark Marcuso over there at Arlington Greens. Tell him that Two Birds on a Bat sent you. He'll probably give you a smile and tell you you're crazy for listening to a couple of kooks on the show here. But that's okay. He's a good friend of ours. He's a great guy. Arlington Greens over there, it's the gem of the Midwest as far as golfing goes. Get over, see him, and I'm sure he'll take care of you. And then the real big sponsor we got, the one that we're all excited about, and our friend Polo Asensio, it looked like he made a trip over to see Adam's Smokehouse the other day. BMO, what's the feedback? Is Polo in a food coma from eating all that food over there at Adam's?
We were talking about it last night a little bit, and he said he couldn't stop. And then the guy kept bringing food in to him. He just said my name. He said your name and Jimbo. And actually Josh, because he said the whole group from Two Birds, and we were all there. So he mentioned that, and man, the guy started bringing some all kinds of plates and all kinds of food, and he said, man, I didn't want any more, but I have to eat it because he kept bringing it. So yeah, you're right. He might be in a food coma, man. I might take Jamie and Jada over there today. I might go to the Adam's Smokehouse there and try a little bit of ribs, a little bit of everything there, see what they have, you know?
Listen, folks, I don't usually go to a barbecue joint and get the smoked turkey. But I am telling you, this is coming from a fat kid, okay? Go to Adam's Smokehouse, get the turkey plate, and put that cranberry cayenne barbecue sauce on it. It is heaven. And get the ribs, too. Make sure you get those. But for sure, get the turkey, put that cayenne cranberry barbecue sauce on it. It's life-changing. Ribs, pork, chicken, turkey, it's all delicious over there. You can't go wrong with anything on their menu. Macaroni and cheese is out of this world. And good to see our good friend of the show, Polo Asensio, and the counterpart to Benji when he's calling the Cardinal games on 880 AM, the Spanish radio broadcast. He went over there and got himself a nice little hookup and a great meal. Make sure you tell him that Two Heck Birds yeah, on a man. Bat sent you in. Let's talk about a little Heck bit of these yeah. upcoming games here.
I have an issue first.
Oh, well, let's roll it out. If it's okay. about Robert not saying anything for the first 20, 32 minutes of the show, I get you. He's going to yell at me anyway.
Hey, yes. At least we're going to ease you into this, because when I first got here, it was, Josh, what's your opinion? I'm like, God. Oh, yes. God.
Yes. Yeah. We started asking for stats like he was the Elias Sports Bureau over
all
there.
Right. I can look some stuff up pretty quick, but, yeah, it was intense the first time I came in. But so we have Jose going down to Venezuela, birth of his kid. How many kids is that? His second
Benji? Jose?
How many? He's not going only for that. He's going to try to bring his kid over to United States, where I thought it was Venezuela stopping the kid from being with him, and it's actually United States. It's actually Trump and his organization, of course, that is stopping his kid from coming to America, his own kid. So he's going to try to get both done. He is going to have a baby, of course, but he also is going to try to bring his kid over. This is a third attempt for him to try to get his kid over with him, and the United States of America said no to his kid. So he's going to try to fix that.
Yeah, I think an article came out, what was it, a couple weeks ago, Derek Gould of, St. Louis Post-Dispatch?
Correct.
Yeah, he put out an article on that, and I had no idea that, and it's politics. This isn't a show for politics, so we'll go ahead and leave it off. But it's just amazing that shit kind of happens, and it shouldn't. It's really just sad. So I hope, like hell, Jose can bring, his newborn baby, his, 3-year-old or so, bring him over, and they can actually experience their dad playing Major League Baseball for the St. Louis Cardinals. But so we have him gone for this weekend, unfortunately.
That's what people want anyway, Josh. Don't worry. That's what people on Twitter and everywhere, that's what they want. So they got their wish granted. Now they don't have Jose at first. Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
And we talked about that last show as far as, how Twitterverse goes out there. And you just can't make people happy, it seems like.
I don't even want to give them credit out there. Jose's our first baseman, period. He is batting, 320 right now? He is absolutely crushing the baseball in an anemic offense. So I don't give a shit what his defense looks like. And his defense has actually looked pretty damn good the last month, if you ask me. He's stopped some pretty hard hit balls over there at first and fielded them pretty well. So I haven't seen anything to bitch and complain about with Jose's defense. But my thing with this weekend
even
is we're
Jimbo wanted him out. Can you believe
that?
Oh,
I know.
I love it. Every time it seems like Jose gets up and hits a home run in the first inning, and there's a text on the group from Benji, are you ready to get rid of him yet? And then Cromer texts right back, maybe we'll keep him another game. So always fun the banter back and forth. But you're right, Jimbo wanted him on the first ship out of here down the river somewhere.
You want him.
Yeah. But now we have Carp this weekend, essentially playing first base all three games.
He's going up. Lester, right?
He's going to head.
Because he doesn't hit good.
Who, Jose?
No. Carp. No, Carp doesn't hit Lester.
Yeah, he doesn't hit Lester.
I wouldn't play him.
And he doesn't hit against Quintana. So he's got two of the three matchups where Carpenter's batting like .120 in his career against these guys. And it's like 34 plate appearances against Lester. So why not start Voit? Start Voit. Why not?
Yeah.
Our offense can't get any worse. Like, we need to score runs. We need to throw in these younger guys. Start Munoz. Start Voit. Start Bader. All weekend long. And then just, I don't care if you blind pick names out of a hat. Get something going on this lineup because this offense is disgusting to watch.
Bimo, how do they do that?
I got something to say real quick. Hey. Is Robert still alive out there? Because I don't hear.
Yes, I'm just taking it in, Benji. Taking all of it in.
Oh, okay. All right.
Thank you.
Well, I'm just making sure, because I didn't hear you, so I want to make sure the guys check your pulse and see if you were still alive.
Doing good.
He is looking up Andre Dawson's stats right now.
I know Andre Dawson's stats. I don't got to look them up.
They found him in the ivy out there like years after he retired. I think they pulled him out of the ivy, right? Was that a cartoon, The Simpsons or something like that? They found him. What was it?
If you make Andre Dawson jokes, Andre Dawson shows up and deals with you, right? he's a bad man.
The Hawk loved him. Okay, what do you got, Bimo, other than finding out if Robert's still alive?
No, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, I appreciate that concern.
So here's a question. From a professional athlete standpoint, you got a guy that we know is a terrible matchup. He started for you for the last 4 years, been arguably your best hitter up until this year, pure hitter. And he's got two bad matchups coming against your rivalry, and you're down your normal first baseman. You got Luke Voit you can put in. What's the call there, Benji? I mean, how butthurt does Carpenter get if he sits? What's the conversation like from Matheny to him? Is it an honest thing like, bro, you can't hit these guys? Or is he saying, well, I know I'm hitting .120, but I'm a lifetime 300 guy. I'm due. What's that conversation like?
Well, that conversation is pretty strong, I tell you what. Because you don't want to, if you're the manager, you don't want to sit Carp. It's not about sitting him because you don't want to. It's that Carp haven't been doing the job against left-handers, and Carp is telling you, I need to be seated this game. It's not about what the manager wants. The manager wants Carp to hit 300 against left-hander pitching. That's what he wants. But is it happening? No. Well, is it best for the team for him to sit and put a right-handed batter out there? Yes, because and believe me, I want Carp to hit against lefties too. So I want the team to win. So, and Carp is a big part of us there. But if he's not doing it, if he's haven't been doing it, why do you want to keep putting him out there and give you an 0-4-4 when you have a right-hander out there that could be doing maybe a little better? You don't know, but it couldn't be doing any worse. So that's my point. I mean, you don't, as a manager, you don't want to sit Carp because you want him in the lineup. But he's telling you, hey, man, I don't hit lefties very good. For some reason, I haven't been hitting them at .120 against these guys. Hey, Carp, I'm sorry. You got to be coming off the bench in these couple games. And let's put whoever is in there, a right-hander. And if by any chance that starter gets out in the fifth inning or in the fourth, fifth, sixth inning, then you're going to go back in against the right-hander bullpen or something like that. But that's what goes on in there. They talk about it, and Matheny probably goes talk to him and say, hey, man, I'm sorry, but these guys right here, they got your number. You're hitting .120. I need to move the lineup. So, but they'll talk about it, you know. But I want Carp to play today. I want them to do two for three with a walk today. Tomorrow, same way. I want him to do that. It's just that he haven't been doing it against lefties.
So what are the odds that that conversation happens? I don't think the lineup's out for another 2 hours, right? Comes out about 1. Is that about
probably
the normal time?
Right around there.
What's your anticipation whether or not that's going to happen today?
I don't know if Mike has been doing a lot of strong things, you know, in the team. A lot of things that you know, like we didn't see him do before. So he ain't afraid of doing changes, man. He ain't afraid of changing the lineup. He has already shown it with Fowler and a couple guys, and even Carp. So even Wong, too. So I think that conversation is going to go very, very strong, very straightforward. If you're Carp, what are you going to have to say to Mike? I want to play, Mike, because I hit .500 against this guy. No, he has nothing. He has nothing to come back with. You know what I'm saying? Like, so he has nothing to say, oh, I got to play. No, he understand. He understand if Mike's decision is to sit him down for these couple games and then coming off the bench, that's what's going to be, man. You know, that's what's going to be, and we got to play ball. That's it. Let's go. But it's going to happen. It's going to happen. They're going to talk about it, and hopefully it's the right, you know, it's the right decision, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, we got Waka and Lester tonight. Waka obviously has been one of the bright spots for
the entire club.
Yeah. Him and Michaelis, I guess we can both say those two guys have really been
the backbone
of what we're
keeping
looking
us
at.
In it.
So you got that matchup, then you got Saturday night. You got three night games, BMO, including I believe Sunday night baseball game on Sunday night. So this is a big weekend. But you got Hendricks and Martinez. And I don't think we fared so well against Hendricks at least a couple years ago. I know it's been off and on with him a little bit, but would love to see Carlos get back into it.
It's time to freaking get him. That's what it is.
Yeah, and the worry is, you know, Carlos. You know, the worry is really him getting back into the form that he should be. you know, obviously easing back in after his lat strain and everything, but need to get him back up to his form, definitely for sure. And then you're going to end Sunday night with one of our young bucks there, Jack Flaherty and Jose Quintana going at it.
I feel good about that matchup. I like it. I like it. I like all three matchups, to be honest with you. But if the lineup is structured the way I think it will be most successful, if that, you know, Voit at first base against Lester, that's the number one thing. I think Voit, and even if Voit goes 0-for-4, at least you can give the fans what they want. And that's a little bit of a change and a little bit of a, hey, we think we understand the matchup. We understand Carp doesn't fare well against Lester. Hey, let's throw Voit in there and try to get him some at-bats and see if we can't get something rolling. At least they tried. That's my point. I don't.
And it shows you that at least they get it. They're not blind.
Yeah, exactly. I mean? Which most fans across the Twitter universe are, you know, bitching and complaining about. Oh, they don't see it. They don't, you know, they're not doing anything, blah, blah, blah. Like, I think you make fans a little happy, and I think you give yourself a better chance of winning with Voit in that lineup against Lester at least.
Well, you're sitting at what are we, a game and a half back of the – no, we're 2.5 back of the Cubs. We're 4 out right now. We're on a run rate of 88 wins, and I know Milwaukee's you know, on pace to hit 97 wins, but, I mean, they can't hold that for sure. You need to have a good weekend here. I mean, you shit the bed against San Diego, the would've, should've, could've's. Of the world, they came in here and they played strong baseball. They had timely hittings.
Good bullpen.
Our offense looked anemic at times. I mean, it just not any spark out there at all to get the fans going. You know, you're going to have to come out and you're going to have to say, this is a weekend, I think. You're going to have to tell the National League Central whether you're in it for the long run or you're not, whether you're a buyer or seller. I'm under the impression that they're looking at 2019 already. But I hope not. You're going to have to do something big now.
I worked over at
I know.
Matt Carpenter's pro camp for the kids yesterday. That was a blast. I mean, it they didn't get through the first round of the first speeches. Matt started talking, and all of a sudden it got dark. Clouds came over, and we all sprinted inside. 100-mile-an-hour winds blowing over the tents. But I heard yesterday from a little birdie that talked to him that, you know, he likes this team. He likes where this team's going. He said this is the first time in the 5-year span that he's been doing this that he's ever said it about a baseball, one of his teams, that they got a chance. So I don't think if Carpenter's not giving up and, you know, you got there's no way in hell – that these guys are giving up and saying, oh, yeah, let's pack it up. And the front office can all they want, but these guys on the field is what matters. They're going to continue to grind.
Well, yeah, and I get it, but when you look at the 10-game split, last 10 games going up and down the Central, everybody's about the same, 6-4, 4-6, 5-5. Everybody's playing .500 baseball for the most part. If you don't take 2 or 3 here, if you find yourself – 7 games out from second place, even, or 7 games out from first place, and, you know, the Cubs, whatever they do, it could be 7 games out total if everything goes the way Milwaukee wants it to also. The bottom line is, how do you make that up? You're at June 17th, I think, by the time we get there. June 17th. You're a couple weeks away from All-Star break. You're going to have to really have, you know, some serious talks, because now you're going to have to play .750 baseball to be competitive. Does this team have .750 in them?
See, I don't think you're right there, though, man. I think this club needs to take these next series. I mean, I'm looking at it right now: Chicago at Philadelphia, at 4 at Milwaukee, and then you're playing, you know, the interleague matchup with Cleveland, and then you got Atlanta, who's a pretty solid team this year. You know, these are the games that you take one day at a time. You lose, flush it, go on to the next game. These games, and they all matter. But at the same time, you still have half a season
If you go two, if you lose two this weekend to the Cubs, you're not out. You're there's, you're what? No, what'd you say? Seven games out.
Yes.
Yeah, if we lost two out of three, or you're
all three. I think
you're still in. You're still in the fight for the rest of the season until games 162. Unless we get really behind, and then it's, you know.
Until you're mathematically eliminated, you're still in it, you're saying?
Yes.
Is that the philosophy?
Correct, because anything can happen in baseball.
Benji,
anything.
You like that philosophy? Until the fat lady sings, like you're that. Still in it, right?
Well, that's always good, but I got to tell you this. Just losing the series to the Cubs, I don't think we're out, man. Not one bit, man. We still got two. We got July. You got July, August, and September to play, man. That's 3 months. You know how many things can happen in 3 months? The Cubs can get in a slump. Milwaukee can come up from that cloud, lose 7 out of 8 one time, or 7 out of 10 games. All of a sudden, St. Louis wins 6 out of 8. They back in it. I mean, anything can happen, bro. I mean, unless you're like those last places that are 20 games out already, then those are the guys who needs to be thinking about next year. But us, you know, 7 games, we're not even 7 games. We're talking 2 games out of the Cubs and maybe 4 out of the Milwaukee or something. I mean, anything can happen, especially in this baseball these days where anybody can beat you. We already saw San Diego coming in, taking 2 out of us. We already played the Marlins, and the guy who's never won a game came in and beat us out and won their first game ever. We saw all these things. They could happen to the Cubs too. It could happen to the Milwaukee Brewers. So I know, man. I it's really, really way too early to tell. Do we need some wins? Yes, we do need the wins. But if we lose 2 out of 3 to Chicago, which I'm not thinking, we have the pitching. We just need a timely hitting. We just need to make those guys score runs for our starters, and we'll be fine, man. I really do believe it. But losing 2 out of 3 doesn't hurt in the long run. I mean, we should be ready to come play the next series. Like you said, those next series are really tough. And when we play Milwaukee and we play 4 games in Milwaukee, you take 3 out of 4 in Milwaukee, there's halfway through it, or what we're talking about. So we'll see what happens, though. But it's really too early to say we're done, you know?
So there was a question. Well, a guy tweeted out the other day, and I'm going to pose it as a question and see what you guys think. So if prior to the season someone told you the Cardinals would lose Yachty for a month, DeJong for 2, Carlos for 1, Reyes for the rest of the season, and that the bullpen would be a disaster, Wong and Fowler would hit sub-200, and they'd still be 6 games over 500 on June 15th. So this was
– it's a miracle.
Would you call them crazy? That we would be 6 games above 500, still, what, 3.5, 4 games back of first place, you would absolutely think that they were crazy for telling you that.
Yeah, absolutely. How do we've won 36 games. How do we ever win 36 games? It's a miracle.
With our top guys and then our top prospect, not even a factor in one of the, what, 3 months that we've already played, 2 of the 3 months. I mean, it's insane. So now we're getting Carlos back. This is where my optimism is through the roof.
Okay, let's hear it.
We are getting
Talk
Carlos.
Talk me off the cliff, because I'm ready to jump off the cliff.
And I can see it right
this
now.
This roller coaster, this train that we're on, I get too emotional on it. It's hard, brother. It's hard.
Optimistic seatbelt for you right here.
Okay, put it on me.
Carlos, he's getting back. He's getting back into shape. He's getting healthy. He was worried about his lat, you know, in that Miami game. He only threw, what, 3 2/3. He's getting healthy again. He's coming. He'll get back to form, and we'll have Carlos, Michaelis, and Waka. And then not to mention Flaherty and Weaver. I mean, they're keeping us in the ball games, period. We have, what, we still have Holland figuring it out in AAA, which I know he's struggled still even down there. But if we can get him going – then we have another option in the bullpen. Brebbia has been great. We have Hicks. We have Norris. All these guys are showing up out of the bullpen. If we have one or two more guys, if we go out at the deadline and get one more relief pitcher, that's what, 4 or 5 guys? I mean, that's a pretty solid bullpen. We have Yachty that just came back from injury. He's starting to find his groove at the plate again. He always looks great behind the plate, but at the plate offensively, he's starting to come around. You know, we have these guys. – And then we have DeJong, who, in my opinion, if he didn't get hurt, He'd probably be the NL All-Star. He probably would. I would like to think so, because that's not really, A, a strong group, and B, he's right there in the top tier of the National League shortstops. So we're getting him back. You got to think, we're getting all these people back. They're all getting healthy. Who knows? Maybe Wong figures it out, and Matheny's still mismatching and seeing where guys can fit at what times. He's starting to take Jose out of lineup in the seventh or eighth, you know, which I think we can slowly just keep putting him in at first base and for the entirety of the game. You know, they're taking Fowler out and putting Bader in right field in the later innings. You know, little things like that. He's still working it out, and it's only going to get better. And that's where we got to start thinking, like, we're not even full stride yet.
Okay.
As a team.
Robert, are you buying or selling that seatbelt argument he has over here?
Yeah, I think I buy pretty much all that, because to me, baseball is still a matter of catching breaks, right? I mean, all the analytics and all the statistics and all that, this is coming down to catching breaks, and in a weird way, hoping that other people, you don't wish ill on anybody or certainly injury or whatever, but if somebody doesn't catch a break and we catch a break, to me, that's what it all boils down to. The stuff that happens from here, rest of the season, there's a lot that goes into it. But ultimately, it's, you know, can we be lucky to some degree and put that luck together with all the other knowledge and whatnot? So I'm buying it. But anything can happen. I do think the fat lady analogy, I think it's perfect, because who knows? 3 months still.
Okay, so you're pinning your hopes on a Foot Locker and a phone bill, all right?
I'm
glad that these two Marines over here have trusted their life to you, and you're pinning their future on a Foot Locker and a phone bill.
All I know out of all of this is you asked the question at the beginning about, is the rivalry still a thing? And it is. It's just different. The only thing that I know for sure about the rest of the season is I will still root against the Cubs just as much as I'm rooting for the Cardinals. So whatever that's worth.
Well, that's worth a lot. And I want to break into that a little bit and talk about your fandom. And, you know, we talk a lot over at the office, obviously, about baseball and things that have happened. Yeah. And tell us a little bit about, you know, your favorite Cardinal, your favorite memory, things like that real quick.
Yeah. Well,
and it can't be Benji Molina being the hitting coach in when they hit 700 with runners in scoring position.
Why can't Benji have a moment to shine for a second? You don't want Benji to get the applause. No, I think, you know, to that conversation about the Cubs rivalry and all that, you know, I look back at those times and I'm a big fan girl or fanboy or whatever of certainly that era. And to me, that rivalry was a big deal to me, because I hated the people as players. You know, I mentioned Sandberg and Dawson and like Rick Sutcliffe. Like, I remember those guys, because when people would talk about the Cubs, I didn't think about the Cubs as an entity. I thought about, oh, here comes that Rick Sutcliffe. I don't like that Rick, you know, or whatever the thing.
I hated the way he held the ball down there behind us, but I think he looked like a... I can't say politically correct things here.
He had one of the best beards in the business at the time. There's no doubt the Sutcliffe. But, you know, that for me, it was the same thing with the Mets. The reason that I still hate the Mets is because I still kind of hate Darryl and I hate Doc, you know, and Howard Johnson and Mookie and
Lenny Dykstra.
Oh, man.
They're still pond scum.
And that's why now when I think about that kind of stuff, I don't think about the Cubs, and I don't think about the Mets in the same kind of thing. I don't think about the individual people. There's nobody that I can pick on that I go, man, I just really hate that person and the player, you know, whatever kind of context that is. I think about it as an entity. I think about it as I just don't want the Cubs to win. I don't know what it is. I just still don't want them to win. And the same thing with the Mets. So a lot of that has to do with, there were guys back then, like if I could see like Tudor going up against Strawberry, to me that was what the like Cards and Mets were at the time. I didn't want them to win because Tudor was my guy. Like, Tudor will handle it. You know, that was, for me, that's the thing that I miss is the heroes and the villains part of it. That made the rivalries more special for me. Now it's just sort of ingrained in me, you know, because of all that. But yeah, I the Cubs thing will always just be in me. Maybe my dad did it, maybe his dad did it and just put it in you, but I still don't. It still grinds me a little bit, those guys from back then. But I miss them. My favorite players, I mean, I always joke around in the office that Tom Herr was still probably the best looking second baseman in the business. At the time, just, you know, that was just a special era for me, and in some way, never quite will let that go.
Yeah, I love the mid-'80s Cardinals. I think to a person that we all love the style of baseball that they had then and that team. And obviously, with our age being about the same, it's shaped my thinking of what baseball should be. And Benji's the same way, right there in that era. You know, his dad coaching him and bringing all the teams up, they played that same style of baseball. It was traditional baseball, right, BMO?
Heck yeah, I'm all for the old school baseball any day of the year. The new school, I like baseball, so I don't care. Obviously, I'm going to love baseball. It doesn't matter, but the old school is my favorite time to watch a game and to make sure that we did the right things and how the game was played and everything was more for the team than right now. Right now, a lot of kids, not all of them, because I don't want to sound like it's everybody out there not playing for a team, right? So I know they are. I know there are people out there living their hearts every day on the field for their team. So, but most of them, not most, but a few of them, they don't care about no team. They care about their numbers. They want to get paid, and that's it. You know, they don't care about wins or losses. They don't care about that. They just want to get paid, go home and stuff. I mean, and like I said, not most of them, but a few of them out there. So those guys for me ruined the league. And I mean, I like the guys who play the hardest for the city of where you at. In this case, for St. Louis, I love those guys that put that sweat on and did all these crazy things, for the city of St. Louis through the years, man. I'm an old school guy, man. I really am.
Good, good. Well, Benji, I know we're up against the hour that you had for us. Tell Jada and Jamie, thank you for allowing us to grab you for an hour. We'll finish up the last 10 minutes here, last couple of minutes, and hopefully you make it over to Adam's Smokehouse for some lunch. Appreciate you being on.
Yeah.
And we're, once again, you're on 880 AM, right? The Spanish radio broadcast. You and Polo will be doing that all three games this weekend.
Yeah, and then we also are MLB at bat. When you go to hit the Cardinals on the top right corner where you see the headphone sign on, just click on the headphones and it'll tell you WIJP or WIPR, I think. That's us. That's the Spanish radio station for the Cardinals. Right on their website, Cardinals, you can just hit that right-hand corner there, and then you'll hear us straight on. Even if you don't understand us, just hit it.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll speak some Spanglish once in a while.
Well, ironically enough, Cardinal Nation also complains about their announcers that are assigned to their games, which I imagine Sunday night will be completely atrocious because we're going to get a couple of national broadcasters in. They're probably going to be giving, you know, all the love to the Chicago Cubs up there, and the cow town that St. Louis is will not get any love. So I'm sure that Twitterverse will be going off on how terrible the announcing is. My suggestion to you.
But it'll be awesome, Steve. It'll be awesome to kick their butts right there, right? When they're doing that, right?
Well, yeah. I would listen to you and Polo and turn it on, okay? And much like I used to do with all those, what was it, the Latino day shows that they had on there.
The soaps.
I would just watch them because, like.
Why were you watching those, Steve?
Well, I enjoyed them, but I would just make up my own lines on what was going on. So if you don't understand what Benji and Polo are talking about, just, you know, you can make up what you think they're saying, and they're better than any announcer we're going to have this weekend for sure.
On Sunday night.
Perfect. Thanks, BMO. Appreciate it. We'll take it home from here.
Thanks, Benji.
You got it, guys. We'll see you soon.
Okay, buddy. So, interesting thing I wanted to touch on a little bit here is off-topic stuff. The St. Louis Cardinals jersey logo, rated number one logo in baseball sports right now, right?
Saw
that article this morning?
I didn't read the article. I just read the headline. I think I was just getting in my car driving or something. That's awesome.
It is. Well, the funny thing is I think it's the best logo in professional sports from a standpoint of the four major sports around here, right?
Yeah.
Here's my PSA, my public service announcement for you. If you're going to go get a Cardinal jersey and get it autographed, do not get it autographed on the back on the number so we can see who it is. Get it autographed on the front where the best logo in sports is displayed, because that's the reason why you want it there.
Did we talk about this last show, or am I having deja vu?
I don't know. Was I on last show?
I think some – God, who was I listening to? Somebody was talking about how ridiculous it was to get an autograph on the front of your jersey. Why the hell do you get it on the front of your jersey?
In the Cardinals jersey, but you autograph on the
front. I like where you're going with that. I like where you're going with it. I do.
You should know who number one is for the St. Louis Cardinals.
I'm just having deja vu right here, and I have no idea where the hell I heard this, because I know I don't have that shit. But, yeah.
So, that's best logo in sports, my public service announcement, get it autographed on the front. If you have questions, come find my my Facebook page, and you can see pictures of why they should be autographed on the front.
Or just call your USA Mortgage.
Yeah, or call me at USA Mortgage. I'll send you a picture of it.
In the middle of the day, are you not too busy, though, watching soap operas to, if somebody contacts you, do you have time for people? Can you break away?
I do. I do have time. I would usually pause my my soaps if I needed to.
That's responsible watching.
It is responsible.
DVR now, Steve. DVR.
Boy, I can't even spell DVR, so that's for sure. So what are you looking at for this weekend, Josh? I mean, you need we can't lose all three.
It's a tough matchup.
You gotta take one. I mean, we went up to Chicago, right, earlier this year, and we took all three? Two out of three?
No, we took two out of four. We took two out of three, and remember there was a It was back when it was snowing.
Or was it three out of four?
It was something. Yeah.
Can you look that up, Elias Sports Bureau, real quick?
It was, what's it called? What was that? Back in
April.
April?
Yeah.
Wow.
So the bottom line is, I know we went up there and handled our business. To keep things intact with the rivalry.
One of two.
Okay, that's
it. Two of them, it was supposed to be a four game, and they, two of them got snowed out. So we took one of two,
and we were in that second one, right? Gave it up at the last.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what a should have won. WLS, wins, loss, and should haves.
Yeah.
Robert, what are you looking? What do you think we need this weekend?
You say three night games this week?
Three night games.
Yeah.
And it is going to be blazing hot.
That's what I'm wondering about is the night games, but even if it's hot, the sun goes down, it helps a little bit. It'll be interesting to see by the time they hit that third game how the players are holding up. And if that starts to – am I crazy to think that somehow would have an effect? I mean, a hot weekend, it's June, but three night games, does that help them that they're under some shade over that period?
So we're in the stadium the other day, and it's still at first pitch, 7:15, it's still 84.
Yeah.
And that was on an 88 high day, all right, 89, whatever it was. So you're talking 97 degrees tomorrow.
Yeah.
I mean, I think at first pitch, you're looking at a 91 maybe 92 degree start.
Well, and let's not forget, I'll take the role of
and the Cubs
Benji
been playing in the cold,
thinking
right?
of the players. Think about this. They're taking BP at 4 o'clock in the afternoon in the dead heat of the day. I mean, that's another thing. I mean, we got to think about these players that are going out there and getting stretching in that they can't do inside, you know, throwing the ball around before BP, whatever it is. They're out there going to be cooking in the middle of the day. So that's another thing. I think they would almost rather go in at, you know, 9 o'clock in the morning and get ready for the noon game during the weekend, at least on days like that, so that they can. Because I don't even think they take BP anymore during noon games.
I would be I would be surprised if they went out in the heat of the day. Like I said, a heat index is going to be about 110. If they're going to be out there, I would assume they're going to hit in the tunnel or underneath, you know, somewhere. I doubt that they come out on the field. That would be my guess. But I think the weather plays into it. I think you're right, Robert. You're talking about three night games regardless. Chicago's had a cool spring so far. I mean, I still see the guys even as early late as 2 weeks ago wearing jackets on the field in the dugout.
Do you think the fans act differently on a night game? You know, can the players get anything off of that? I mean, are they more pumped if it cools down a little bit by the time it hits 9:30 or 10? And does that can they feed off of that at all, or does that have zero impact, do you think?
They feed off offense. That's what they feed off of. It's no longer – see, for me, it's I love pitching matchups and I love big offensive games and anything in between. It doesn't matter for me. But the fan perspective, I guarantee you, it's as long as they're in it and they're, you know, scoring runs and not going cold turkey for five, six innings at a time, then they'll be in it, especially this Chicago series. That stadium's going to have 44,000 fans in it every single game. They're going to have a great time. And, the Cardinals are going to feed off of it for sure. Without a doubt. I mean, they might be sweating out their alcohol a little bit, but, you know, that's part of it.
That just means it was
baseball.
That's a good time. If you got to sweat some alcohol, you just had a good time. That's all that is.
Well, perfect. Let's take it home from here with the last couple of things. We got to give a shout out to, you know, the people that really take care of us out there on the other podcasts, on the Facebook fan pages. So I'm going to try to get through some of these things and not forget too many of them. So Chris Lawless of Cardinals Nation 24/7, Ron Nuttall, Team of Rivals podcast, which I am going to be guesting on, I believe, September 23rd. So Ron reached out to me, and it'll be late enough in the season that we'll either know if the fat lady has sung, warming up, or if she's still in the back room waiting to come out. So,
yeah, Ron's a great guy. Ron and Chris both, they've done so much for me, too. I started a Facebook page, Cardinals Podcast Network. It's got – I think I have 18 podcasts on there that I try to keep up with the best as possible, and I post it on there, and that way it's all under one umbrella, and you don't have to sit here and search very far for all your Cardinal podcasts. And they've been extremely helpful, throw out ideas all the time. They are top-notch people.
Right. We had Nate McHenry over at Rally Squirrel.
Yep.
We got Mo's Algorithm. If you haven't followed him on Twitter, make sure you give him a follow. He's awesome as far as all the launch angle stuff that we want to get into. Cardinal Country, St. Louis Cardinals fans, St. Louis Cardinals crew, St. Louis Cardinals fan group, STL Cardinals, fans of Yadier Molina, St. Louis Cardinals, Arch City, yep, media writers and photogs. There's so many out there. I get it. If you don't want to listen to these couple of clowns in the patio studio talk about Cardinal nonsense, then get on Facebook, join some of these fan pages, check them out. I mean, a lot of great stuff comes out of there. So great stuff here, guys, from the patio studio. Robert in here, Robert Wagner with Keller Williams Marquis out of Edwardsville. I believe you service both sides of the rivers. Tell us how somebody gets a hold of you, man.
Yeah, you can follow me on Instagram, A Real Estate Guy, all one word. You can hit me up email, robert@chooserobert.com, or 618-578-7625. Thank you guys, Josh and Steve and Benji out there. Let me take up some of your space today. Appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Come awesome. Back, dude.
Love it.
So, Josh, I think you got a contest going on, right? So
yeah,
tell us
actually,
I think we're doing some networking thing, right?
Yep. Just to give it a little ending to this episode, this Monday, we are going to be announcing our contest, how you're gonna entries and stuff like that, how you can get networking and all that cool stuff, and you're gonna get all your likes up on the page and get your friends to like our page. Two Birds on a Bat is our Facebook page. You can follow us on Twitter, Birds on a Bat Show. And then I believe it's just Two Birds on a Bat Show on Instagram. Yep. Two Birds on a Bat Show on Instagram. And just get your likes up and get as many people as you can, your friends, your network, basically, to like Two Birds on a Bat on the Facebook page.
Yeah, we got to get this more than 2 billion downloads every episode. So I know we're close. Listen, there's 7.5 billion people out there, folks. So we're only reaching 40%. Is my math right? 30%, 20%. We're in the billions, though, I'm sure. I'm almost positive.
Are Cubs fans allowed? You want Cubs fans in that?
If they want to listen to how a real podcast runs, speaking of which, thank you, Lineup Media Group.
Yep.
If you haven't had a chance to download Yo Radio, which you heard the tag at the beginning of the podcast here, Yo Radio's got it going on, streaming music, a lot of stations out there. They're part of the family here at Lineup Media Group. So thanks to Andrew Allen, Brian Croc, our producers, USA Mortgage, 618-655-0483. I had to think of that number. Randy and Stephanie Green over there at Innovated Companies, Adam Smokehouse, Patios. Go party there. Pregame, it's going to be lit, is I think what the kids say this weekend.
Oh, please don't.
That's about it, man. I don't know what else to say. All I can say is let's go sweep the damn Cubs. Go Birds.
Go Birds.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.